ladies. Let's open our Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 22. We will forego the special. We're a little bit later jumping into this part of the service, and so we'll move right into our time around the Lord's table tonight. We're thankful to have guests here, as I mentioned, and more than just the Seelys, others of you that were here this morning as well, and some of our regular folk members are on a trip like you're here. And let me just explain, at our church, we practice what we call a close fellowship at the Lord's Supper. Now, if you have a stronger conviction about who should participate in the Lord's Supper, then you obey your conscience. But if you're saved and in good fellowship with the Lord, and a member of a church of like practice and faith, or you're just new here, you've been saved and baptized, then you're welcome to participate with us tonight in the Lord's Supper, all right? Look now with me at Luke chapter 22, and if you're able to stand, let's do that in honor of God's Word, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 14. The Bible says, "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." It's very interesting what the Lord Jesus said in verse 15. "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." I just want to talk a little bit tonight about at the table with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here in this service tonight. And Lord, would you please warm our hearts and draw us even closer to you through the observance of this ordinance. God, we understand that the observance of this ordinance doesn't save anybody. It is symbolic. It is a picture of the sacrifice that your Son made so that we could be saved. And thank you for salvation so rich and free. Bless this time around the table tonight, I ask in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. This is the event that we know as the Last Supper, or as it would be known in the first century churches, the Lord's Supper. They gathered to eat the Passover meal. And it was not until the end of the Passover meal that Jesus took bread and juice and passed it to his disciples. Now, at the Passover meal, the Israelites always ate lamb. That began down in Egypt on the night that the Lord passed over the land in judgment. So here is Jesus Christ eating lamb at the Passover and then going out and becoming the lamb who would die for our sin. The elements that Jesus used to symbolize his suffering have never changed from this night. He passed the bread and he broke it. And he told the 12, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Then Jesus passed the cup with the juice in it. And he said, and I quote from the scripture here, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." The bread and the juice, the body and the blood. And just want to emphasize tonight, in case anybody has some kind of misunderstanding in their thought processes, what we do tonight does not wash away a single sin, does not forgive somebody for their sins. All we do tonight is we use the bread and the juice to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us so that we could be saved. The sacrifice of his body and his blood is the main thing that Jesus wants his followers to remember. Don't forget the sacrifice I made of my body. Don't forget the sacrifice I made of my blood. It was for you. All of it was for you. And tonight, we're going to pass the bread and we're going to pass the juice. No, we're not celebrating the Passover. We are remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in specifically, we're remembering the blood that was shed and his body that bore our sins to the cross. Now, along with remembering that tonight, I want to point out something that Jesus said and remind us of the setting in which he said it. And that's in verse number 15. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Jesus used repetition. He used a double positive, if you will, in speaking to the 12 to try to get the point across to them that he really had looked forward to this Passover meal. With desire, I have desired. And I think we would say today, I really, 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 really have been looking forward to spend this time with you. That's what he was saying. Now, the 12 were his chosen, the ones whom he had called to be with him. And they had been with him for the previous 3.5 years. How many miles had they walked with Jesus Christ? How many messages, how many lessons had they heard Christ preach? Had they heard Christ teach? How many times had they witnessed unbelievable miracles with their very eyes, their ears, their physical senses? They'd seen things taking place that nobody else had seen. How many times had they heard and seen the hatred that the religious leaders had exhibited toward Jesus Christ? Well, 3.5 years is a good amount of time. And if any group on earth knew Jesus pretty well, it was this group. And even though they knew him better than any others did, they still had not scratched the surface of all there was to know about the Son of God. And guess what? Neither have we. We never will. Now, on the other hand, Jesus had been with these 12 disciples for the last 3.5 years. How many times had he seen and heard their humanity on display? How many times had he rebuked them for being hard-hearted? Think about it. How many times had he called them out for having little faith? How many times had he witnessed them get angry and out of sorts with each other? How many times did he have to remind them about what the scriptures said? Have you not read? Have you not read? Well, the truth is, folks, that Jesus knew them better than they knew themselves. In fact, Jesus knew that while at this moment they were having some warm fellowship at the Passover meal, in just a few hours, they would all forsake him. One would completely betray him. One would emphatically deny his knowledge of Christ 3 times. All of them, except for one, would abandon him at the hour of his crucifixion. Fail, fail, fail. Yet in spite of that knowledge, Jesus tells them, I really, 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 really look forward to spending this time with you. To eat this Passover meal. And he's not speaking a lie. He's not even slightly exaggerating. No, Christ doesn't do that. When he told them he desired with desire to spend this time with them, he meant it. And in the same way, I believe that Jesus is pleased with us when we take time 4 times a year to gather around his table and remember his sacrifice. And as we come to this table, we need to come having examined our hearts, confessing any known and revealed sin that the Holy Spirit has put his finger on in our lives. But wait. As much as we try to know about ourselves and prepare our hearts for this time, Jesus knows us better than we'll ever know ourselves. And like the 12, we are sometimes hard-hearted. And we sometimes have very little faith. And we sometimes are angry and out of sorts with each other. We sometimes pay no or very little attention to what the scriptures teach. We're just like the 12. Have we denied him when we could have boldly spoken for him? Have we bailed on him in a time when we could have stood for him? Have we set our affection on things below when he was waiting for us to set our affection on him? Have we failed the Lord and he still wants to spend this time with us? He is still pleased to call us his own? Yes, yes, and yes. I want to point out three things about this with Jesus, around the table with Jesus. Number one tonight, let me just say this, folks, as it kind of coupled up with this morning. Number one, Jesus knew who was lost. He knew who was lost. I'm not going to read verses 21 and 22, but in verses 21 and 22, he pretty well points out, and the man that's going to betray him, Judas Iscariot, Jesus pretty well calls him out in those verses. Jesus knew full well that Judas Iscariot was the one who would put the kiss of betrayal on his cheek. And we find when Judas did that, do you remember what Jesus called him? Friend. Friend. A lost man is Jesus' friend. What a shame to be a friend of Jesus and yet never be one of his sheep. Judas came to the table lost and he left lost. I never have been a proponent of being so that just for the purpose of making people doubt their salvation. But people, have you been a friend of Jesus by way of coming to church regularly? By way of singing the songs that speak of him? By carrying a copy of his word? And yet, you're around the table tonight lost? If you've come to this table lost, don't leave lost. Don't leave lost. Don't leave unsaved. Turn a repentant heart to Christ. Trust him. You know what's necessary. And leave this table saved. You're not going to do that by drinking the juice and eating the bread and hoping that that washes your sins away. It's what the juice and the bread represent that makes you a born-again child of God. The sacrifice of Calvary. So Jesus knew who was lost. Number two. Jesus knew those who were at strife with each other. In verses 24 through 26, look at what it says in verse 24. And there was also a strife among them. Among who? The one sitting at the table. Strife. With the one sitting around the table. They began to argue among themselves as to who was the greatest disciple. Now, what a silly and prideful argument. It's ridiculous. Now, we can sit in judgment of these disciples tonight, or we can look within ourselves to examine if we are sitting around this table with strife in our hearts. Is there strife in our hearts with someone at home? Is there strife in our hearts with someone at church? Is there strife in our heart with someone who lives far away, but they are ever so close to us because we hold a grudge against them? And that's what happens when people live miles and miles and miles away, but you hold some kind of strife or bitterness or grudge against them. It puts them right here. Let's not be pious. God's people have strife with each other. And it's a shame. Jesus knew these men better than they knew themselves. He knew Judas would betray him. He knew Peter would deny him three times. He knew none of them would be at the cross except for John. He knew that. And yet Christ came to this table with no strife. No bitterness against them. Do you reckon you could forgive the person who's offended you? I don't think anybody here has been offended by anybody else here any worse than Jesus Christ had to be treated by his own. It's a silly thing. Now, we're human, and we get sideways. It happens in marriage. It happens between parents and children and parents. It happens between siblings, and it happens between God's people who sit around the same table. But you know what, folks? This would be a good place to leave your strife. This would be a good place to leave your bitterness. We're gathered around His table. There we sit at this table with ugliness residing in our hearts about somebody else seated at the same table with us. What a shame. And don't you think Christ knows that? You know, abandon all the strife. Abandon all the bitterness tonight. At this table, at this setting, confess it and leave it all behind under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And be free of that tonight. Jesus knew who was lost. Jesus knew those who were at strife with each other. And I say number three tonight, that Jesus knew who Satan would try to destroy. Because he goes right into verses 31 and 32. And he starts talking to Peter. And Jesus gave Peter a heads up about Satan's coming attack. Satan would try to destroy Peter's faith. Satan would sift Peter as wheat would be sifted. And he would take him through the mill, so to speak. And Peter would falter during Satan's attack. And he would deny Christ three times. That's what Peter did. It can't be denied. But Peter's faith would not fail. And do you know why it would not fail? It would not fail because Jesus prayed for Peter. And he prayed for him in verse number 32. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Thank God for an intercessor who prays for his children's faith not to fail. Peter would leave this tender time around the table. He even responded to Jesus by saying, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee to prison and to death. In other words, no, that's not going to happen. But it wasn't long till Peter was saying, I know not the man. I don't know him. How many times have we left the Lord's Supper service with our hearts so full, our hearts so warm, our hearts so drawn tight to the Lord Jesus, and we leave a Lord's Supper service and we walk away believing we would never disappoint Him. We would never purposely disobey Him. We would never falter in our stand for Him. Of that we are sure. We are certain. But guess what? We do. We disappoint Him. We purposely disobey Him. We falter in our stand for Him. And you know what He does for us? He does the same thing for us that He did for Peter. He prays for us. And He prays that in spite of our faltering, our faith will not fail. We don't have to walk away as those disciples did in John chapter 6. And the Bible says they walked with Him no more. Friend, there's a difference in falling. We might fall. We don't have to fail. Failing and falling are not the same. When we fall, we can get back up. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Failing is quitting. Peter fell, but he did not cease completely to follow Christ. He was not one of those in John 6 who walked with Him no more. And that is the prayer of Jesus for each one of us. God, Father, help him, help her. Please, that their faith fail not. Don't cease to follow me. Get up. Confess, admit, acknowledge your fall, but do not become an ex-follower. That fall does not have to define the rest of your life. There's someone you can help. There's someone you can strengthen. There's someone you can influence. Get up and keep going. Now, I don't know what you see around this table with Jesus. But when He gets there, He tells this group of men, human beings, I have looked so forward to sitting at this table with you. With me? with you. You know what we see here? The incredible breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. With desire, he desired to eat with these men, these stumbling, bumbling men. And with desire, he has desired for us to gather around this table tonight to remember him, to remember his body, to remember his blood. And we ought to be right in our hearts with him as we come to this observance. And if you're lost, my goodness, get saved. And if you've got some kind of ugliness in your heart toward anybody else gathered around this table, get rid of it. Leave it. And if you've fallen lately, now, I don't mean falling in the sense of going into deep immoral sin. I just mean you've stumbled and fallen. You know what Christ is doing for you? God help him up. God help her up. God help them. God be with them. Don't let their faith fail. Don't let them become an ex-follower. I can't think of any better place to get back up on your feet spiritually than the Lord's table. Gathered around the table with Jesus. I think about that chorus that we sing every once in a while. I believe it's in our book. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. I'm sorry. Stumbling, bumbling humans. Our Savior longs to be at this table with us. That's grace. That's mercy. That's love. Father in heaven, I thank you tonight for the privilege of having this ordinance and to observe it. Tonight with these people, there's not a group of people anywhere in America I'd rather observe the table of the Lord tonight than with these people at Faith Baptist. And Father, I just rejoice that in spite of us, Christ loves us. And in spite of knowing everything he knows about us, he longs for us to come around this table and remember his body and remember his blood. Father, if there is a lost person in this room tonight, please bring conviction of sin and help them to be saved. And Lord, if there's someone sitting in a pew tonight whose heart has been hardened by strife, a grudge, bitterness against another brother or sister sitting at the same table, please, God, forgive us of that and move us beyond it. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight who's stumbled and fallen, thank you that Jesus is praying for them. I pray you'll lift them up through this very time tonight around the table with Jesus. May your work be accomplished in our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you need to do some business with the Lord before we observe the Lord's table tonight, the altar will be open. If you're not saved, please come directly to Brother Allen and just tell him I need to be saved. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The altar is open.